Translation by His Divine Grace, Abhay Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. While Uddhava, the chief and most confidential amongst the devotees of the Lord, was going away, Vidhur, in affection and confidence, questioned him. Purport. Vidhur was much older than Uddhava. By family relation, Uddhava was a contemporary brother of Krishna's, while Vidhura was as elderly as Krishna's father, Vasudeva. But although junior by age, Uddhava was much advanced in the devotional service of the Lord, and therefore he is described herein as the chief amongst the devotees of the Lord. Vidhura was confident about this, and thus he addressed Uddhava in the higher category. That is the way of courteous dealings between two devotees. Shishi Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. Om Gyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shilakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasme Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manopistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurur Vaishnavamsya Shri Rupam Sagjatam Sagana Raghunatam Mitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Savadutam Parichana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sakana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamsha He Krishna Karunar Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagapati Gopesha Gopikanta Radha Kanta Namosite Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishipano Sutadevi Pramami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavimbhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasati Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Narayana Namaskritya Naram Jeva Narottamam Devim Saraswati Vyasam Tato Jayamati Rayat. Translation. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the very means of conquest, one should offer the respectful obeisances onto the personality of Godhead Narayan, onto Naranayan Rishi, the supreme human being, onto Mother Saraswati, Goddess of Learning, and onto Srila Vyasadeva, the author. Shanvatam Swakata Krishna Punya Shavana Kirtanam Riyantos Tovidrani Vidnoti Shut Satam. Shri Krishna the Paramatma, super soul in everyone's heart, is a benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for mature enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who has developed the urge to hear his messages which are themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. Nashta Paresh Patrishu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhakti Bhakti Nishtaki. By regular attendance on class in the Bhagavatam and by rendering of service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed in loving service unto the personality of Godhead, whose praise with transcendental songs is established as an irrevocable fact. So Hare Krishna, requesting your blessings and prayers to be able to say something of substance today. So let's just read the translation again. So the translation is saying, while Uddhava, the chief and most confidential amongst the devotees of the Lord, was going away, Vidhura, in affection and confidence, questioned him. So if we look at this, Uddhava is actually junior in age to Vidhur. However, Uddhava was more advanced in devotional service than Vidhur. Therefore, Vidhur wanted to be instructed by Uddhava. The dealings between Vidhur and Uddhava were very courteous. A Vaishnava always follows the proper etiquette. And therefore, the dealings are respectful and sweet. Transgression of this etiquette blocks one's spiritual advancement. Therefore, we need to learn who is spiritually advanced and who is less advanced. And this begins with learning to ascertain one's own level of advancement. So how do we know what is advancement? So Srila Prabhupada, in Nectar of Instruction, in text 5, describes the three levels of devotees. So let's have a look what he's saying. Krishneti yasya giritam mana shatriyete tikshashi chit panatibhis ja bhajantam isham shushrasaya bhajana vigyam ananyam anya nindati sunyaridam ipshita sangalaptya. Translation. One should mentally honor the devotee who chants the holy name of Lord Krishna. One should offer humble obeisances to the devotee who has undergone spiritual initiation, diksha, and is engaged in worshipping the deity. And one should associate with and faithfully serve that pure devotee who is advanced in undeviated devotional service and whose heart is completely devoid of the propensity to criticize others. Now, in the beginning of the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains that one must learn who is advanced and who is less advanced in order to properly apply the six loving exchanges. This is mentioned in Nectar of Instruction 4. And what are these six loving exchanges? So, Nectar of Instruction, text 4, talks to us about what is the loving exchanges. Tadati prahagranati guyamakyati prichati punkte bojayate cheva sadvidam priti lakshanam. And in the translation, Srila Prabhupada is saying, offering gifts in charity, accepting charitable gifts, revealing one's mind in confidence, inquiring confidentially, accepting prasad, and offering prasad are the six symptoms of love shared by one devotee and another. Pop your hands up if you've been a recipient or you've been somebody who's given one of the six loving exchanges amongst the devotee community. Now, in the purport of Nectar of Instruction, we're going to go back to text 5. Srila Prabhupada gives some of the characteristics of the three classes of devotees. Now, Srila Rupa Goswami therefore advises that we should meet with the Vaishnavas in an appropriate way, according to their particular status. In this verse, he tells us how to deal with the three types of devotees, the Kanishtha Adhikari, Madhyama Adhikari, and Uttama Adhikari. The Kanishtha Adhikari is a neophyte who has received the Harinam initiation from the spiritual master and is trying to chant the holy name of Krishna. One should respect such a person within his mind as a Kanishtha Vaishnav. A Madhyama Adhikari has received spiritual initiation from the spiritual master and has been fully engaged by him in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. The Madhyam Adhikari should be considered to be situated midway in devotional service. The Uttama Adhikari, or highest devotee, is one who is very advanced in devotional service. An Uttama Adhikari is not interested in blaspheming others. His heart is completely clean, and he has attained the realized state of unalloyed Krishna consciousness. According to Srila Rupa Goswami, the association and service of such a Mahabhagavata or perfect Vaishnava are most desirable. I'm going to read a little bit more. One should not remain a Kanishtha Adhikari, one who is situated on the lowest platform of devotional service and is interested only in worshipping the deity in the temple. One therefore has to raise himself from the position of Kanishtha Adhikari to the platform of Madhyam Adhikari. This is the way to cultivate devotional service properly. Therefore, in this verse, Srila Rupa Goswami has advised us how to treat various devotees. In our devotional life, we should try not to remain stagnant. We should try, with each passing day, some days are better than others, to try and progress gradually in our spiritual life. Now, Bhagavad Gita has many verses describing the qualities of what a spiritually advanced person looks like. So let us see, firstly, the qualities of those who are pure devotees. So I'm going to read from chapter 12, 13 to 14. Advishta sarva bhutanam mitra korana evacha nirmamo nira ahankara shama dukha shuksha shami shantushta satatam yogi yadatma dida nishchaya mayi arpita mono buddhirya mad bhakta same priya. Srila Prabhupada is saying this translation. What does this mean? One who's not envious, but is a kind friend to all living entities, who does not think himself a proprietor and is free from false ego, who is equal in both happiness and distress, who is tolerant, always satisfied, self-controlled, and engaged in devotional service with determination, his mind and intelligence fixed on me. Such a devotee of mine is very dear to me. So in this context, we can think about spiritual masters. Spiritual masters are forever, 24/7, trying to think about Krishna, trying to spread Krishna consciousness, trying to encourage their disciples to do more and more. Think of innovative ways in how we can spread Krishna consciousness. Now, you may have heard this and think, I'm not even a pure devotee. Do I even stand a chance? Well, you'll be pleased to know there's hope for us all, and managed to find a verse in chapter 13, 8 to 12. Now, this is one of the longest verses in Bhagavad Gita. So we're going to chapter 13, and it's 8 to 12. So let's have a look at what these qualities are. Amanitvam adham pitvam ahimsa shanti arjavam acharyo pashanam socham steryam atma vinigraha indiyate shuvaregyam anahankare vacha janma mrityu jara vayati dukha dosha nutarshanam ashaktirana pishvagna putra dhara grahadishu nityam cha samachitatvam ishtanishto papatishu mayi chananya yogena bhaktir avyapicharani vivikta desha sevitvam arati jana samshada adhyatma gyan nityatvam tatva gyanartha darshanam itad gyanam iti proktam agyanam yad ato anyata. Told you it was long. So, translation. Humility, pridelessness, non-violence, tolerance, simplicity, approaching a bona fide spiritual master, cleanliness, steadiness, self-control, renunciation of the objects of sense gratification, absence of false ego, the perception of the evil of birth, death, old age and disease, detachment, freedom from entanglement with children, wife, home and the rest, even-mindedness amid pleasant and unpleasant events, constant, unalloyed devotion to me, aspiring to live in a solitary place, detachment from the general mass of people, accepting the importance of self-realization and philosophical search for the absolute truth. All these I declare to be knowledge. And besides this, whatever there may be is ignorance. So we can't look at all these qualities. That's another class in itself. But I remember going to a retreat many years ago. And I remember Maharaj also advising that if you want to see how much progress you're making spiritually, every Ekadashi, you can look at these qualities and see how you've made progress. Have you become more humble? Have you become more tolerant? And let me tell you, when you desire to work on these qualities, Krishna will certainly test you. He'll put you in situations, oh, so you think you're tolerant? Here, how are you going to deal with this? You think you're self-controlled? Okay, deal with this situation. But the key thing is, we're trying. And let's just unpick just two of these. So if I was to ask you, and have a go, and please don't worry if you're unsure, what do you think is the difference between humility and pridelessness? Is there a difference? What do you think? Have a go. Yes, Prabhu.
Humility will be a positive way of, you know, like the quality. Pridelessness will be like the negative way. Like, so, like, we should negate pride. The humility is something we should aspire for, develop like mm-hmm. this. So that will be like the difference, I think.
Okay. Yes, Prabhu.
I know humility is to know our position in relation to Krishna as a servant and to act in that position. And then pridelessness is like Lord Brahma, he was instructed at the beginning of the creation that not to become proud by creating the universe. So basically he was said to always know the where everything comes from in terms of Krishna and in that relation. So he'll never suffer from pride.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much for having a go. I'm going to simplify even more for you. So upon research, I found amanitvam, which means humility. It means not to be proud when we have a reason to be proud. And adambitvam, which means pridelessness, means do not be proud when we don't have a reason to be proud. We've got a really, really nice example, a simple example I feel we can relate to. So I'm going to give you an example of a billionaire. So a billionaire means not to be proud when we have a reason to be proud. I'm a billionaire. But then it could also mean, means not to be proud when we don't have a reason to be proud. So I'm a billionaire, but reality is the opposite. If you feel inspired to by the end of class or rest of the day or whenever Ekadashi comes tomorrow, if you feel inspired to read these qualities or maybe add it as something you'd like to do in Ekadashi, that would be absolutely amazing. So in the next verses, Uddhava will reply that he cannot instruct Vidur because Maitreya is nearby. He is elderly and was also instructed by Lord Krishna. Therefore, Uddhava requests Vidur to hear from Maitreya, because if he would instruct Vidur and Maitreya, who is senior to Uddhava, then he would transgress the etiquette and commit the offense called maryada, or overstepping of a senior personality. This is actually backed up quite nicely in Srimad Bhagavatam. So just touching upon this, because the speaker will speak about this in due course, Canto 3, Chapter 4, Text 26 says, Uddhava uvacha nanute tattva shamratya rishi kosharavya antike shakshad bhagavato tishto martya lokam jihasata. And what's Uddhava saying? Srila Prabhupada says, Sri Uddhava said, you may take lessons from the great learned sage Maitreya, who is nearby, who is worshipable for reception of transcendental knowledge. He was directly instructed by the personality of Godhead while he was about to quit this mortal world. Actually, what had happened with Uddhava was he'd saw Krishna's passing, Vidura and Uddhava exchanged conversation, but he was actually on his way to Bhadrika Ashram to see Nara and Narahari. So I thought what would be really nice for this next half is to speak about Vaishnav etiquette and relationships. And I've taken inspiration from Bhakti Jaro Swami. He's done Vaishnav etiquette classes before. And even though it might be something you've heard about before, there's nothing wrong with repetition and relearning things. And Bhakti Jaro Swami bases on Sanatana Goswami's book, Hari Bhakti Vilas. Hari Bhakti Vilas is, I've not read it, I hope to one day, maybe some of you have read it, but it's the philosophy, rules and regulations and how we can live our life as a Vaishnava. So this word etiquette, Vaishnava etiquette, what is it? Etiquette is the ornament of a Vaishnava. But what does it mean? Is etiquette something only external or optional? We could draw an analogy. Is it possible to be wealthy but have no riches? Or what is the value of wealth if one uses no costly ornaments? Generally, one will decorate himself according to the degree of his wealth. If one is very rich, he will be adorned with only the finest of raiments and accessories. Similarly, for one who is profound in his Krishna consciousness, the jewels of Vaishnava etiquette will naturally grace all of his dealings and activities. The characteristics of a devotee are always sublimely manifest in all of his actions. The depth of a Vaishnava is judged by his symptoms. The true devotee will therefore adorn himself unsparingly with the decorum of a Vaishnava in all respects. So I'm going to ask another question. What do you think etiquette means? What is your understanding of the word etiquette? Any takers? Yes, Prabhu.
Some rules and regulations which would enable us to have wonderful Vaishnava dealings, like.
Nice. Brilliant. Anybody else want to? Yes, Prabhu. I like it. Etiquette, the philosophy we live by. Anybody else want? Yeah, behavior. Any other takers? Yes, Mataji. Yeah, respect, love. Yeah, isn't it from Nectar Instruction? Six loving exchanges. Yeah, okay, thank you. I had to look in the dictionary. What does etiquette mean? There were two. Conventional requirements as to social behavior, and I think it fits everyone's contribution so far on what etiquette is. And secondly, the code of ethics of a profession. So Hari Bhakti Vilas does speak about, you know, how do we fast on Janmashtami? What do we do when we do certain fasts? How does deity worship work? You know, everything has rules and regulations. We can't just do things whimsically. Now, there is a difference, if we go back to the point in how we deal with different types of devotees, the same principle can also be applied between seniors, juniors, and equals as well. To illustrate this point, there is a really nice verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which I would like to share. And this is from Canto 4, Chapter 8, Text 34. And when I read this, I want you to think about your interaction with devotees and if anybody is kind of coming to mind. Gunatikam mudam lipshat anukrasham gunadamat mitram samatan anvichin natape abhibhuyate. Translation. What does this mean? What is Srila Prabhupada saying? You can see on the screen as well. Every man should act like this. When he meets a person more qualified than himself, he should be very pleased. When he meets someone less qualified than himself, he should be compassionate toward him. And when he meets someone equal to himself, he should make friendship with him. In this way, one is never affected by the threefold miseries of this material world. The purport is definitely worth exploring as well, because it explains the translation so nicely. Generally, when we meet someone more qualified than ourselves, we become envious of him. When we find someone less qualified, we deride him. And when we find someone equal, we become proud of our activities. These are the causes of material tribulations. The great sage Narada, therefore, advised a devotee should act perfectly. Instead of being envious of a more qualified man, one should be jolly to receive him. Instead of being oppressive to a less qualified man, one should be compassionate toward him, just to raise him to the proper standard. And when one meets an equal, instead of being proud of one's own activities before him, one should treat him as a friend. One should also have compassion for people in general who are suffering due to forgetfulness of Krishna. These important functions will make one happy within this material world. That's why devotees are so merciful. You know, they go out preaching. They, as George Harrison says, everybody needs Krishna in their life. They just don't know it. So rather than being negative, rather than being envious, you can flip it around on how you can actually develop and foster positive relationships with people according to someone who's senior, equal, or someone who may not be to your level. In summary, if we were to summarize this, in presence of an elder, one should not be very eager to impart instructions, even if one is competent and well-versed. And we see that this was demonstrated from Uddhava. He knew the correct etiquette. That's why he advised Vidura to go and see Maitreya. But actually, if you look at our shastras, we have many examples of juniors who are very qualified. Sukadev Goswami came to the assembly of Parikshit Maharaj at just the right time. There were so many qualified sages present, but Sukadev Goswami was the one who was able to instruct Parikshit Maharaj, and everybody else assembled there benefited. So Parikshit Maharaj was able to listen to Krishna Katha for 7 days. Kapila Muni, yes, he was the son of Devuti. Yes, he is a supreme personality of Godhead. But still, as a junior, he was still instructing his mother about devotional service, devotional life. What is the goal of life? Prahlad Maharaj was another wonderful example. He was preaching among his peers, but even his father, who put him through so many atrocities, he did his best. Jadabharat, a humble soul, who is also speaking about Krishna. All these exemplary souls were humble. They didn't find fault. In fact, out of all of them, Prahlad Maharaj would be the one who could try to find fault, but he didn't, especially after what he went through. And when I actually read that, I thought about Lord Krishna and his exchanges with family members. So when he would meet the Pandavas, he would actually bow down to Maharaj Yudhishthira because he was an elder. He would embrace, beam, and Arjun because they were his peers, but Nakul and Sahadev would bow down to Krishna because he was older than them. Shishi Radha Gokula Nanda ki, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki. Okay, I have another question for you. What is the biggest obstacle, hindrance, impediment that can actually block our spiritual advancement? What is the number one obstacle that can block? Yes. Not being sincere. That could, but hopefully with sincerity and with association, that can change. There's something a little bit more stronger than that. Thank you, though. Yes, Prabhu. Yeah, that's it. Vaishnava aparad. Fault-finding, criticizing, offending Vaishnavas. Again, we have examples of this in our shastras. Isn't it amazing how many examples we can pull out? Jagai and Madai. Lord Nityananda and Haridas Thakur out preaching because they wanted every soul to become Krishna consciousness, Krishna conscious even. And one of the brothers thought it would be nice to kind of injure Lord Nityananda. But what happened then? As soon as Lord Chaitanya found out, he got his Sudarshana Chakra out ready. But Lord Nityananda who pleaded, no, this is not the age for this. Ambarish Maharaj, he's another wonderful example. Durvasa Muni came to see him, you know, sure, want to have dinner, sure. But then that time of Ekadashi was closing, so they just had a little bit of water. And just by having just some water, Durvasa Muni got really angry and cursed him. But what was the result of that? The Sudarshana Chakra was following him everywhere he went. And it only disappeared once he asked for forgiveness from Ambarish Maharaj, because even Krishna couldn't do that. In general, Vaishnav should not be disrespectful to anyone. Of course, situations, circumstances are always going to test us. Devotees, non-devotees, there's super soul in everyone's body. Although we do need reminding of that as well. So let us see what Srila Prabhupada has to say about, you know, this disrespecting. Srila Prabhupada wrote a letter to Patita Udharan on 12th of December, 1974, and his title was, A Devotee, One Who is Humble, Doesn't Find Fault. So in your letter, you are not finding fault with anyone. So you are good Vaishnav. You do not find fault with anyone. This is the qualification. We should always think ourselves humble and meek. This you must know. So we all have to cooperate amongst ourselves. Otherwise, what will people think if we ourselves fight with one another? A devotee is always ideal in behavior. I also want to share another powerful example that I found and recorded. It's definitely impactful. How important it is to glorify others. Materialistic people are gossip mongers. They said, he did this, he did that. All their joy is derived from speaking badly about others. When we speak badly about someone, we are actually taking his bad karma. Before speaking ill of someone, be aware of that fact. You are actually ridding him of his bad karma and accepting it yourself. You are causing great injury to your own spiritual life. Mahaprabhu told Raghunath Das Goswami not to indulge in mundane discussion. Mundane discussion means speaking badly about others, backbiting. This fault-finding and backbiting causes the heart to shrink, whereas Krishna consciousness is a process that expands the heart. A Vaishnav derives joy by glorifying devotees. Devotees are the reservoir of good qualities. If out of hundreds of good qualities, someone displays one bad quality, it should not be magnified. Make it a point to create a very nice atmosphere by glorifying others. That is what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted, desiring no respect, glorification, adoration for ourselves, We should offer all respect, glorification, adoration to the Vaishnavas. See how wonderfully he is rendering his service. He has offered himself to Srila Prabhupada. That is how we should see every Vaishnava. What to speak of a very Vaishnava, of a very senior devotee. Then a very nice atmosphere will be created. Vaishnavas are like swans. They live in a very clean lake. The crows live wherever there is garbage. This becomes very obvious in Kolkata in the morning. When we were in Kolkata, I used to chant on the rooftop sometimes. I would see there are crows and there are pigeons. The pigeons would fly to the rooftops. People would throw grains and the pigeons would take the grains. But no crows would come. They would gravitate towards the garbage. And that's actually from Bhakti Charaswami. When I was thinking about devotees, maybe you know within your own friendship circle or people in general who don't criticize, the one devotee that kind of came to mind was His Grace Jayananda Prabhu. Now, if you're not sure who this devotee is, when you go to Rath Yatra, you'll see a picture of devotee at the back. That is Jayananda Prabhu. And he was always positive. There's never mention of him criticized. So an example was he worked hard on building the Rath Yatra. He used to offer arti to the wheels, offer Agarbati incense stick as well. But one story which I was like, wow, maybe you've heard it from one of the lectures by His Holiness Swayam Bhagwan Keshav Maharaj. He spoke about how he went to see a devotee who had left Krishna consciousness because maybe a fault of his had been magnified. But this devotee actually ended up taking up a job that you would never dream about, the complete opposite of the four principles that we follow. And he was actually working in the butchers. But Jayananda Prabhu just went there, gave him a hug, regardless of what the environment was like. Prabhu, where are you? I've missed you. When will I see you again? Just that one act encouraged, motivated that devotee to come back to Krishna consciousness, which I thought was really beautiful. You may have some examples that you might be thinking right now. So to summarize, I'm just going to go back to what I actually said at the beginning. So we learned that Uddhava is junior in age to Vidur. However, Uddhava was more advanced in devotional service than Vidur. Therefore, Vidur wanted to be instructed by Uddhava. The dealings between Vidura and Uddhava were very courteous. A Vaishnava always follows the proper etiquette, and therefore their dealings are respectful and sweet. Transgression of this etiquette blocks one's spiritual advancement. Therefore, we need to learn who is spiritually advanced and who is less advanced. And this begins with learning to ascertain one's own level of advancement. So would anybody like to add anything more on what's already been shared in the class, or has anybody got any comments they would like to share? Any riff? Yes, Prabhu, please.
Just remembering Bhakti Charaswami, he was a very pucker person, trying to do things properly and to get everybody sort of following in those ways. So in a way, he was a perfect example of a person following the etiquette that protects us from from being accidentally offensive to other people. It's a very interesting thing. We can never know, but sometimes we might look wrong at them or something like that. I don't know, just something, or the way we speak. I think that's all I can think of, actually.
Brilliant, thank you. All the spiritual masters have wonderful qualities, and Bhakti Jara Swami was definitely a Prabhupada man, wasn't he? I mean, everybody is, but he was by Prabhupada's side a lot. Anything else to add? Comments? Yes, Prabhu.
Thanks, sir. I have a question about Vaishnava etiquette in public. Is there a certain way to apply Vaishnava etiquette, if it's, you know, if people might be put off by some etiquette, like paying obeisances and things?
Do you have a particular example that comes to mind? Can you give me a situation of what you think in terms of Vaishnava etiquette?
Yes, if someone will see someone paying obeisances to a senior or something, they might think, yeah, they just have no idea what this is, and just they might say it's not for me,
yeah,
instantly.
If it's maybe out, it depends on the environment as well and what the comfort level is. If it's within the temple environment, why not? And actually, we're following the instructions, so maybe that's your opportunity or chance to say, actually, Nectar of Instruction says this, so I'm following etiquette. If it's somewhere maybe publicly where everyone's going to see, maybe that devotee might feel uncomfortable. If that's the case, then maybe it's just a case of folding your hands, or a lot of devotees like to hug each other as well, so maybe you do that, and maybe you ask them, is it okay? But I think passing on that understanding of why you're doing something will then make somebody appreciate why you're doing what you're doing. I hope that helps. Yes.
Hare Krishna. I wonder if you could say something about the difference between just fault finding and criticizing, and actually having to speak out when there's some sinful or unacceptable behavior offending other devotees going on.
Yeah,
which is a big issue, I think.
I'm really glad you brought that up. I was hoping somebody would. Sometimes, of course, it is necessary for you to pick up if someone's not doing something correctly. There's also an opportunity for them to learn why that fault is being corrected. I also think it's the nature and how you speak to somebody, because Bhagavad Gita also says that speech shouldn't be agitating to the person receiving the instruction. So do you know that person personally, or do you know somebody who knows that person? Is it going to be better coming off from that person who might be their mentor, for example? Then that message would be relayed in such a way that, you know, they're going to accept as like, yeah, I need to rectify that. Or is it coming from a complete stranger, and the way that message has been communicated is, don't you know you're not meant to put your legs in front of the deities? How could you do that? Don't you know this? You're so silly. As opposed to, you know, Prabhu Mataji, the best way to sit in front is, you know, to try to sit with your legs crossed. Or if you feel you can't sit down for a long period of time, maybe you want to consider sitting on the chair. Or if you really want to sit down, maybe put your feet away so it's not pointing towards, you know, the deities or Srila Prabhupada. So the way the message is relayed is so, so important. I hope that's helpful. I think that's how I would try to handle that situation.
I was just commenting further on Mataji's question.
Please, yeah.
That the mentality of fault finding or service when someone's offering constructive criticism has to be examined within the heart of the person that wants to offer advice, because fault finding will destroy us, whereas doing a service will purify our heart. So some level of internal introspection when one has to correct someone else has to be taken into consideration.
Yeah, yeah. I think it also depends on the kind of person you are as well, whether you're open to improving yourself, whether you're open to hear what other people have to say. Because ultimately, if it's going to be better for you than your spiritual life, you may not even realize you're doing that. So if someone's pointing that out, you could ultimately be grateful because you didn't know you were doing that. And we have to try and do our very best to try and improve our character as well. So it's just finding out the correct way of going about things. Yeah.
Hare Krishna. If you have a near to you, maybe one person that seems that criticize a little bit, how can you do to not criticize that person that is criticizing the devotees?
Try to look at the positive qualities that they have, apart from, though you might find it hard, it might be, you know, they make beautiful garlands, or, you know, they do the arati nicely, or they're a very good preacher. Unfortunately, there are going to be people in this world and devotees as well who have the propensity to criticize, but that doesn't mean you follow their behavior. You be exemplary in your example and try and switch the mood into a bit more positive. It may be also that devotee is feeling frustrated. We all feel frustrated in life, right? We need to release it and then move on. Don't keep going on and on about it. So try and flip it around into positive rather than join in the criticism, or, you know.
Yes,
there's going to be people like that in life, devotee or non-devotee. So, yeah, you create the environment you want around you. Easier said than done.
I just came in. It's nice to hear your voice. When you mention devotee and non-devotee, can you explain to me what it is? The difference between non-devotee and devotee, and is it a comparison?
We shouldn't be comparing devotees and non-devotees. Actually, we're all super souls. We're all souls.
Hare Krishna, thank you. That's your answer.
Okay.
This is on a very high level. And the second question, when we pray to Ram, Sita, Lakshman, Radha Rani, Radha Krishna, we know that the Krishna himself is Ram. Ram himself emanates from Lord Vishnu. Why don't we go to Lord Vishnu straight?
Why don't we go to Lord Vishnu straight?
Because here we're a human being. We bypass all the gods, all the demigods, all the everybody. We go to Krishna. But Krishna himself comes from Mahavishnu, the Trinity. So why don't we go to Lord Vishnu? Because we've got this type of protocol of thinking like this. This will be if you give me one of your lights on this level.
It depends how you set your life. Bhagavad Gita speaks about if you worship the demigods, you will reach the planet of the demigods. If you worship Krishna, you will reach the planet of Krishna. It might be in this life, we might not be successful. Who knows what birth this is, what number birth this is. You know, we can't count. But it might be that you weren't successful. So then Krishna also says in the Bhagavad Gita, you'll get an opportunity to take birth in a family of a brahmana or a family of aristocrats. I've also heard, I remember many, many years ago, a question was raised, what happens if we're in Vaikuntha? You know, can we still progress from there? Can we... You can progress from there, but it depends what your goal is as well.
God's even cannot go to him.
Yes.
How can we go beyond him to Lord Vishnu?
Pray for mercy.
Beyond him to Lord Vishnu,
yeah. That's true, because even some of the demigods don't know who Krishna is as well. So.
Because you know what I see, I come here, I appreciate it, it's a very good place. I see you have Lord Shiva, and you got the picture of Lord Shiva when you enter. But then there's no following of, for example, Ganesh. He's the one who Krishna has given him the boon of knowledge. And we talk about knowledge, we talk about wisdom, we talk about intellect. Where this is coming from? When we talk about
we definitely agree.
One of your great devotees, Gauranga Das Prabhu, in his lecture, he mentioned one thing. He mentioned that you need to respect all and everywhere the patients in India or in spiritual. If you walk through all the steps of it, then it is a part of spirituality you conquer.
Mm. We do, you know. Yeah, go on, Prabhu. Did one say? No, go on.
Yes, Prabhu, just one thing about what you were saying here is that actually you were saying that Krishna is the expansion of Vishnu. Actually, it's the other way around. It's described in Bhagavad Gita, and Krishna says himself, Lord Vishnu is expansion of Krishna. Krishna is the original personality of Godhead. Ishvara Parama Krishna Sachit Ananda Vigraha. Krishna is the original form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And regarding your statements about the demigods, yes, of course, they should be respected, but also it needs to be known that the demigods, they reside only in the material universe. They are still bound by the material laws. They are actually not above. They are actually not transcendental to the material nature.
Can I ask you on this? When you mention the word, the demigods reside in the material world. How is it possible that Lord Brahma himself go to see Lord Krishna? We people, we don't go. So they are power. They are very powerful. The divine. Us with them. They are very powerful. So Prabhupada himself, he mentioned to you about Kumbhamela, how pure you should be. You go to Kumbhamela with your mind, you should be pure, because it is so powerful that those deities over there, you can know the one, can know the two.
Actually Lord Brahma was taking darshan of Vishnu, not Krishna, and in this way, actually, he was taking darshan of Krishna when he came to the material world to display his pastimes. But actually, it said even the demigods, they and the great sages, they would meditate for years and years and perform so many austerities just to get darshan of Krishna. But still, it's not possible for them. Only for those engaged in bhakti yoga, it's really the chance is there to see Krishna.
Prabhu. I'm really sorry to interrupt. I'm just going to end it. We can have this conversation over breakfast if you want, Prabhu. Thank you. Thank you for your question. Grantharam Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Shishivada Gokulananda ki. Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki. Shilapa Upadhi ki.